accounts that you have in here of some of the folks. There was one where a couple of reporters went down a road, you saw them, and they never came back, and I forget where that was, and I apologize, but geez, David, this is a great work. On the way out, give me a final couple thoughts here and tie our conversation together. It's been great talking with you. I want to give you a chance to have the final word.
Well, let me just give you an anecdote that I think told you about something, the way the world is. In Beirut, during the unpleasantness in Beirut, the Islamists were calling liquor the satanic beverage. And one day they rushed into the Commodore Hotel and smashed the bar, broke all the bottles they could see. And a British correspondent staggered in off the street with his eyes wide open looking at the destruction. And the hotel manager said, "Never mind, sir, we have some more in the cellar. What'll it be?" And he looked around and said, "I think I'll have a satanic and tonic."
Wow. David, thank you very much. Great talking with you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And once again, Foreign Correspondent, a memoir, HDS Greenway. And again, I encourage you to check out this book, as you'll be able to find it wherever fine books are sold. Simon & Schuster is the publisher, and I thank David Greenway. And this concludes another edition of Book Corner. If you follow professional wrestling, a rather interesting occurrence that caught several people by surprise, perhaps even our next guest who's going to join us, and that's that Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, announced recently that they are getting ready to reopen the death of Nancy Argentino, who died by suspicious circumstances in the presence of Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And a gentleman has written extensively about the sport of professional wrestling. I've had him on the program in the past. Irv Muchnick now joins us. If that name sounds familiar to you, his uncle, a longtime promoter in the St. Louis area, wrestling at the Chase and all that great stuff. Irv, I welcome you to the program. It is always good to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Irv, your ebook that you released when? Recently? How recent was that?
We released it, the sisters of Nancy Argentino, Louise and Lorraine, contacted me early last year, and we published the ebook on the May 10th, 1983, 30-year anniversary of the incident in which Nancy Argentino died in room 427 of the George Washington Motor Lodge in Whitehall, Pennsylvania, a room she was sharing with her boyfriend, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. So we published that last May. The following month, an excellent cold case Sunday newspaper cover package by two Allentown Morning Call reporters helped revive it. And as we know, all politics is local. And also, I have to say that those two reporters did a fine job of unearthing two documents that even I had never been able to uncover, the autopsy report and the report on the initial interrogation of Snuka. After
basketball Jones, I got a basketball Jones, got a basketball Jones, oh baby, ooh. Yes, I'm a victim of a basketball Jones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always been dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball, and I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me. I ever put that basketball underneath my pillow. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night.
Tennessee loses tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the road at Georgia Tech in a close fought, hard-fought basketball game. Vols pass 69-67. Balkman wide left with a three ball. From the right, side, and well, he's actually at the top of the key, but hey, I'm not warmed up yet. What can I say? We're only two games into this thing. Georgia Tech, despite being one of their last eight from the field, wins tonight 69-67 over the Tennessee Volunteers, as Tennessee was stricken with cramp issues. And I'm going to bring Keith Hatfield in now without further ado. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. A lot to unpack from this game tonight. Tennessee had a 9-point lead in this one with a mere 14:31 to play. Tennessee had a really encouraging spurt offensively and then defensively, but they just weren't able to sustain it or make it hold up. And I'm going to bring Keith Hatfield in before I give you my thoughts, because his thoughts are really what matters. And we're also, at some point, we're going to grab Coach Tindall as well. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Keith Hatfield, buenas noches, my good friends, my good friend. Good to talk to you. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing fantastic, Tony. How are you doing?
Give me your thoughts, if you can. First couple thoughts that come to mind before we go inside the numbers here.
Well, I just thought that they got incredibly loose with the ball when they got the big lead.
Yep.
And that was the problem. I mean, the defense tonight was, in the first half, the post defense was atrocious. I mean,
yep.
We made Nick Jacobs look like Karl Malone, but the rest of the game, I thought the defense was okay. I just thought we got so loose with the ball, we had no shot.
Well put. Couple observations.
I wasn't very, very moved by who took the last shot either.
Couple of observations for you then, because we have a lot to unpack here. 14:31 to go in the game. I realize that Rick Barnes promised us in the offseason that they're going to play, you know, a game where they're going to shoot the ball from the outside. And, Keith, they played way too quick with a 9-point lead on the road. I hope they tighten that up, because I don't mind playing a little unconventionally. I get it that they're a guard-oriented basketball team. When you are a guard-oriented basketball team, as you pointed out, you have to take care of the ball. This is the second straight game they've done that. They made a 10-point lead disappear the other night at the blink of an eye, and it almost cost them on their home court. Tonight, they made a 9-point lead disappear literally, like snapping a finger. And to a team that was pretty dead in the water, Georgia Tech won tonight's game, Keith, despite, and the number I give you one more time is, they went 1 of 8 from the field, and they still got out of there with a win. The critical stretch in the game to me was when Tennessee takes the big lead. And Keith, I think they just played too fast. What do you think?
Well, I agree. We just kept throwing the ball to it.
Five turnovers, Keith. 2 for 17 shooting with 5 turnovers in that stretch we're talking about.
Well, it was just, you can't play that fast and just throw the ball away.
Yeah.
When you're as small as Tennessee is, you should handle the ball better than
you
that.
Should, yep. It's one thing to get pounded on the glass, as they did at times during that stretch. Tonight, Tennessee, even with the height disadvantage they have, they out-rebound Georgia Tech 53-47, but they gave up several critical second-chance points tonight when they were unable to come up with rebounds in the critical juncture of that game. It's almost like Georgia Tech really turned up the intensity, Keith, for about 4 or 5 minutes there, and that's when they wrestled control of the basketball game away from the Vols.
Well, exactly. When we started throwing the ball to them, I think that was the deal. It's just, Tennessee is not good enough to turn the ball over.
Mm-mm.
one tonight. Honestly, going in, I thought Tennessee would get hammered tonight.
Yes.
Tennessee should have won the game.
That's painful to lose that game now, wasn't it, in retrospect?
Yeah. Yes. I probably overestimated Georgia Tech. No, there's no reason for Tennessee to have lost the game tonight.
That's painful, man. We'll go to the phones, get as many folks in as we can. As I remind you, Tennessee loses tonight 69-67 here on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. This is a place where you, the fan, are the star. This is a place where you get a chance to react. We'll talk about it. In a game tonight where punter was limited due to cramps, Moore was obviously gassed. Moore leads the Vols with 17 points. McGee had 10. Hubs had 13. Punter with 9. Balkman with 7. 1 of 8 from 3-point land. 1 of 8. The team takes 15 three balls. Balkman takes 8 of them. And they put the ball in his hands. And they call the play for him coming out of the timeout. And Keith, you say you didn't like that. What would you have rather they done? Because Corey Alexander was speculating. The Vols are so gassed, they're going to shoot a three here. They're on the road. They're not going to play for overtime here. Do you disagree with that strategy?
No, I agree with shooting a three. I just agree with a guy that I have absolutely no faith in shooting it.
So who shoots it for you there? You go, who do you go? You go Hubs, who's 0-2 in the game. You go
punter,
Moore.
Punter, if I can get him. I get somebody else out there. You know my opinions on Balkman, Tony.
He'll shoot it.
I don't think he can play a lick.
He had 4 boards tonight, a couple of assists. He had an okay game.
I don't think the guy can play at all.
You talk about Jacobs. For the second straight night, a big man just went on a career night. Jacobs with 23 tonight, 9 of 15 from the field. What's weird about that, Keith, is that they quit going to him after halftime. Either we took that away, or they just did what Brian Gregory teams do, which is they just did a mystifying thing there.
Well, I think we got a little more aggressive defensively, but yeah, I don't know why the entire strategy wasn't just to pour the ball down low to Mitchell and Jacobs and just make layups all night. We have serious defensive problems inside. It can't be fixed this year.
Tennessee last led in that game with 11-10 to go. Tennessee's largest lead was 9 with 14:31 to go. And Georgia Tech, despite going 1 of its last 8, escapes with a victory 69-67 against a Tennessee team that out-rebounded them 53-47. To the phones we go. Want to hear your reaction. If you want to get in with us tonight, I'm flying by my lonesome here, 865-200-5402 in the Ray Mirror studio. Let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Hatfield.
Yes, sir, Jake. How you doing, brother?
Hi, I'm sitting here, and I'm just watching this LSU game. I'm looking at Al Skinner. Looks like he's landed at Kennesaw State. How far is that guy falling?
Oh, he has now, well, the mere fact that he has another job is, at this point in his career, is kind of stunning in that he came back.
Hey, guys, I wanted to throw in something, and I hate to come in here, Tony, and be a commodian, but that's what I do best, as you know. But I just couldn't help but roll out laughing when I was listening to the Snooze Machine on the pregame show, and Bob Kessling says to Rick Barnes, he says, well, Butch, you're really going to have to play fast pace tonight.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
Now, so I don't blame the pace of the game on Rick Barnes. I blame it on Bob.
Poor Kessling, if they keep playing that fast, you know how challenging that's going to be for that poor guy to keep up with that action? He's got the attention to detail I do.
I can't wait to hear Kessling have to try to do Scalabissier when things are moving fast.
Yes. That's going to be a lot of fun when we roll around the Scal season.
Hey, but guys, when I look at the stats, you know, Armani Moore, you know, he was only 5 of 20, but that guy battles his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find fault with him. Just everybody in our lineup, you know, Hubs is 6 of 16, Bachman's 3 of 13, mm-hmm. Punter's 4 of 11.
Mm-hmm.
We just had nobody shoot good tonight except Jabari McGee. He was 5 of 8. You know what? I'd have been tempted to try to set a pick for him down within about 12 feet from the bucket and try to get a shot off.
But the point was that it was either we're either scoring or we're going home. They were going to attempt a three-pointer there, Jake, because Punter was limited with the cramps, because Moore was gassed. You know, the thought is, let's just get out of here. But Bachman's attempt, poor Bachman. I mean, that shot wasn't even close for a guy whose calling card is a three-pointer. That you got to get a better attempt up there than that, and he had a clean look at it.
And Keith, let me ask you a question. I mean, Bachman looked like. Now I know that our new coach has improved a lot of guys' shots, but Bachman seems to have gone in reverse. I mean, Bachman was shooting the ball good under Donnie Tindall. But under Rick Barnes, he looks like he's regressed.
Well, my guess is they saw that he shot it well last year, and they haven't really messed with his shot. So it may be that, I mean, junk shooters go through their runs. He may just be having a bad run. He may come out the next couple of weeks and smoke 3 a game. I just think that junk shooters have bad nights. And
you know what? I didn't realize until I started looking at the roster that Bachman is a senior. Where's he been for the last 3 years, Tony?
Oh, he was a JUCO.
Yeah, he was a 2-to-play-2 JUCO.
So he played his full 2 years at a JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, guys, I appreciate y'all being on there, and it's good to have something to listen to after the basketball game.
Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402. Spread the word for us. 16 past your hour. If you want to get in with us tonight, again, the number is 865-200-5402. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Tennessee basketball overtime with you for another season. This is our third year. Last year we did a program during every game of the year during last season, including on Thanksgiving Day, which will never be forgotten by the living fan. And who do we play last year, Keith, on Thanksgiving Day? Let's see how good you are.
Last year, Thanksgiving Day?
Uh-huh.
Like Kansas?
Nope.
So I thought we played Kansas.
We played my boy, Kerry Keating.
We played Santa Clara.
And
you
Santa
are
Clara.
We did play.
And it was 1-for-the-Ages.
It was a game that no one should be forced to watch.
You talk about some bad basketball. We did like a 25-minute Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction Tennessee
That's
basketball
right, because then we played Kansas, then we played Marquette, who
yes.
we should have beaten.
Kansas yeah. was and we played Kansas well too for a while.
We played Kansas well and then we stunk against Marquette.
To go to our phones. Tonight was a real opportunity to steal a game on the road early. That would have been a real nice career builder late, yes?
Oh, that would have been a nice little resume builder because, like I said, I may have overestimated them. I don't think they're finishing 12th in the ACC.
No, I think they've got some pretty good parts.
They've got some decent parts. Yeah. If they finish 12th in the ACC,
that's
the
a great
ACC
league.
Is obviously really good.
Yeah. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Tennessee basketball overtime. The Vols fall tonight 69-67.
Guys, it's Smitty. What's going on?
Hey, Smitty.
I don't know what everybody sees in Bachman. I'm completely with Hatfield here. I just don't think he's very good. I don't mean to dog the kid, but he's not very good.
Well, he had 13 three-point attempts tonight, and they called his number on a night where he was already 3 of 12. So Rick Barnes obviously sees something in him. He called his number.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with the call at the end, not just because it went to Bachman, but that handoff play. I, I'm not a huge fan of that. That's kind of like a, you know, everybody runs that. That's kind of, that was like a Bruce Pearl play at the end of the game. I mean, just, you know, chuck up a shot, try to get it and see what happens, but it's to the wrong guy. But, I mean, you know, Rick Barnes didn't have a terrible game today, I didn't think, so, you know, you can't give up on, you know, he did a pretty good job, but Baltman, I mean, he's terrible. So, I don't know what everybody sees in him. I don't see him, you know, the guy's notorious for stepping on the baseline and turning the ball over. I mean, he didn't do it tonight, but, you know, he did it last week, and he did it just about every game last year, so I don't see anything out of him.
Oh, no. Smitty, he did step on the baseline tonight in the first half. He did it again.
Oh, he did. Okay, so I
love
and
that.
Stepped out by about 2 feet.
I love that. It's his patented move. You guys are being too harsh on the poor kid.
I mean, he stepped out in the first half by 2 feet.
I don't get it. I mean, he does it every single game. I mean, he has no awareness, but, you know, it's whatever. I mean, I thought we were going to get blown out of this game, too, so you got to give him credit. I mean, you know, they hung around, and yeah, but that last play was terrible, so...
Well, the key is you gotta beat Marshall. You gotta beat Marshall Thursday night.
Yep.
Well, if they can't do that, then you can consider this season a wash.
Yep.
So, I mean, but they, you know, they should do that. And I mean, in Georgia Tech, who knows? They may have a good season, but that, what's his name, Brian Gregory?
Yes.
He's a tomato can. He's gonna be out of here.
He's a complete tomato can.
He's a tomato.
Who we almost hired.
Yes, it was down to Brian Gregory and Konzo Martin, and there were reports that Brian Gregory was on the plane.
Rick Russo, Channel 8.
They were reporting that it was Brian Gregory on the plane, and I reported that it was Konzo Martin on the plane after the plane dropped off Lovie Smith, so it was a beautiful, beautiful night.
Yeah, he's not very good. He didn't do anything really that great at Dayton.
No, he's a complete, as you say, tomato can. He's just an opponent.
Yes.
And that we should have beaten him tonight.
And let's be honest, and this is, even my man, he was an assistant for my man KO at various places, but at the end of the day, Brian Gregory is a very good assistant coach. He was an assistant to KO, was an assistant to Tom Izzo, but that's what he is. He's an assistant coach.
And that's where he'll be next year. So, we'll see, guys. Hopefully Don's got some referees. Criticize the referees. We'll see.
I actually thought the officials tonight were pretty doggone
okay.
Good.
Yeah, they were. You know, there were calls either way. I thought they were fair. And
I think everybody. I think the teams have adjusted ahead of time.
Yep.
Because nobody's shooting 55 free throws a night.
Nope.
I think people have looked at it and said, "Hey, this is how we're going to play."
You know what else, Keith? I like that lane being out another foot. In fact, if I had my way, they'd bring it out another 6 or 8 inches because we need to get some more block calls back in the game. You got to get some more offense in the game. That's a nice, nuanced rule adjustment now that I see it applied.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know,
the
I'm
arc,
a defense
I mean, the
first.
Arc, yeah.
You know, I'm a defense first guy, Tony, but
right.
No, you can't have the game turning into mud wrestling and nobody scoring.
Right. And every time there's a 50-50 call on a block or a charge, it was a constant. It was a charge-a-thon. And so now what you've done is you've given offensive players at least a chance by extending out that arc. Let's go back.
Well, and exactly. And they've given the defense a fair trade-off.
Yes.
By if you're moving on the screen now, that's an offensive foul.
Yes.
And it's getting sent the other way. So if you're going to make that trade-off, that's the one way I'm happy that the college game is starting to look more like the NBA game.
I was pretty pleased with the way Tennessee played tonight, with the exception of playing too fast when they had a 9-point lead. They acted like they were down 9 instead of ahead by 9, and I hope that's something they'll tighten up as they go. You just got to play smarter. When you're on the road, it's a shame you let all that hard work go for naught. Because a lot of good things happened in tonight's game. A lot of encouraging things. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. And hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. This is JJ.
Hey, Jay.
Keith, how are your BYU Cougars looking so far in this early season?
I'm not concerned about them yet because they're just losing the play-in game, so I'll get my foot off them. Kyle Collinsworth will put up some – their guys will put up some idiotic numbers, and then they'll lose in the play-in game in Dayton, and I'll get to revel.
You know, just my honest evaluation of this game, I know it's early in the season. We really have a lack of continuity with, you know, having Kendall for a year and sluggish Konzo. It just, for me following basketball, when I would find myself being critical, I just kept telling myself that this was probably overall the least talented team that I can remember since Spivey was out there on the court in the mid-80s. I mean, when your best guy is an undersized 6'4", Amani Moore, and your tallest guy and McGee, who would have helped last year, is really not a post player. If we're calling this team a perimeter offensive team, hey, yay. I mean, do you have faith that we can clamp down defense and get good transition points? Because, I mean, I just think, Tony, you're saying that we should have slowed the pace down and got the lead. I mean, when this team is not good enough to slow it down, or we're talking about bouncing the ball off our knee out of bounds.
Well, I mean, you say that. Surely you've got to be good enough to just slow the game down a little bit. There's no reason just to go out there and rush around and commit five turnovers. They just played way, way too fast. Way too fast. And I think that's an adjustment they'll make as they go.
I mean, if you look at, I'm curious to get y'all's take on just the talent level of this team, because to me, just the eye test, I know it's early, Georgia Tech doesn't seem like anything more than a 500 team, and I don't think they played a great game. And just looking at our team, I mean, it's one thing to have a cohesive unit and, you know, the sum, you know, outdo its individual parts, but I'm just looking at our individual talent, and I'm just going back 30 years. I just can't think of how this team stacks up favorably to mediocre teams that we've had in the past. I just think it's going to be a long year. What do we do well? It's just hard for me to really be excited.
Yeah. I think the team's better than I thought they'd be, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, they look better than I thought tonight.
O'Neal's first team and Juice's last team were dreadful.
Yeah, this team here will be like
those teams.
This team here will be like last year's team. They'll be a little over 500, and they'll have a chance to make some noise when the time comes, I think.
Well, I don't know if they're going to lose a home non-conference game because they don't play anybody.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. They almost lost the other night, though, to JJ's point. You know, when you play that wild and out of control, I mean, you can lose to anybody.
I mean, we have no inside game.
None. I mean, not right now. Not right now.
We could at least, you know, that guy that looks dreadful that Xavier had for 10 years was actually, you know, a pretty good European style 7-foot chunky 200.
Oh, Matt Stainbrook,
yeah.
Yeah. I would love to have Matt Stainbrook on his team.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And, but he becomes kind of that's how basketball has regressed, at least in the interior, when he becomes like one of the actual guys that is kind of a preeminent post player in college basketball. We don't have anyone even close to him just in stature, you know, height and weight. So we've got...
I'd love to have Phil Kofer.
Huh?
I'd love to have Phil Kofer. About right now.
Who's Kofor?
He's a kid that signed with Konzo Martin, and then Konzo poisoned the well, and he went on. Of course, Konzo's not going to tell you that. With the
he's not the guy that got away to Dartmouth earlier this week.
No, the guy who was going to the Ivy League actually signed with us.
Okay. Well, you know, I was just joking there, but yeah, I mean, so we've got an undersized team with really no post presence, and then, you know, Hubs is an undersized guy that what played post in high school, but he is not dynamic enough yet to really, he's not going to create outside shots, and none of our guys, other than Punter, who, if you get streaky, Punter and Moore are going to be able to maybe create a 15-foot kind of jump shot. But, I mean, I'm looking at this team. We don't handle the ball well. We're not very quick. We don't have a three-point shooter. And when you don't have any of that, it's like the YYZ or whatever the heck you were talking about earlier, Tony.
Like going to the YYZ and playing some YYZ. That's what that looked like tonight. That's my point about slowing the game down. You can't just go out there like a YMCA team and just not have a purpose when you're up nine. You worked hard to get that nine-point lead. Slow the thing down, man.
I mean, this is where you hope when we do get a lead, we don't foul. I mean, I don't necessarily think that we had any that stuck out. I wasn't watching it too closely, but I don't think we had any, like, terrible fouls
what?
With the time.
JJ, that dog back there, you have a yippy dog. What is that thing? What kind of dog you got?
Half Basenji, half Rat Terrier, and Les, the lovely Leslie's playing with him.
It is yippy. It is yippy.
Have you ever listened to one of your archives, Tony?
You're out of here. 865. Don't have a yippy dog. Hey, don't blow a yippy dog at me after the day I've had in the background and then tell me about my archives, you clown. Rick Barnes said there will be some things on tape that are going to make us sick because there were things we could control and we didn't control them. He also said we just don't flow when Armani Moore is running the point. Kevin Punter missed a lot of minutes in the second half. No smoothness tonight. Back to the phones I go. The great Mark Griffin coming up momentarily. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic. Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, it's Don.
Hey, Don, welcome in.
Hey, yeah, I thought I'd help your caller before last. Yeah, I thought that Hubs got fouled there in the last minute.
I thought the officiating was pretty good tonight.
Actually, Tony, I missed three quarters of the game watching my grandson play ball, and I'm just now watching the first part. I got in the car just as there was a timeout after we had let the nine-point lead go to three.
Yeah.
And time I got home, it wasn't much. But you know, Tony and guys, Keith, for all of our shortcomings, I'm just sitting here watching us miss three after three, outside shot after outside shot.
Mm-hmm.
Punter, who I'm not blaming because it was obvious he could barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
But with everything that happened, if he nails him to two free throws, they probably would have had to went to overtime.
No question.
And, then also, of course, we had the Hub shot that I guess the ball just either got out of his hands or it got blocked. I just saw it and I thought they were going to call a foul. They didn't. But you know, that 1-for-8 you were talking about, that one, oh, we hit a three. Must be the only one of the night until late.
Incredible, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
How do you lose to a team that makes one of their last eight field goals? In a game that's not wasn't like Tennessee was down 13 points. I mean, it was the game was right there.
Oh, it was right there. In fact,
right there.
The 2 points they got late was on a missed shot and a scramble. And
yep.
We had like three guys there, and some other guy come out and stuck it in.
Yep.
That was their only 2 points.
The Georges Hunt follow. And they finished, Georgia Tech did, 2 of 19 from three-point land tonight and still won. 2 of 19. They shot 34% in the second half and still won the game.
Yep.
God, Keith.
And they benched a bunch of free throws.
God, that was some ugly basketball. Wow. And they did.
In fact, their misses, I know the TV announcers kept saying, hey, they missed all these free throws. They have an opportunity to stretch this lead, and it wasn't getting stretched. But, you know, it was right there. I'm just not making a lot of judgment on the team and the season.
No.
The game last week where we really didn't look good, and then what we saw here tonight, it's just too early. I mean, last year with the teammate that Donnie threw together, and nobody really didn't know that much as far as Donnie went, we had all these prognostications how bad they were going to be, and they turned out to be a fun team to watch.
Yep. And I think this team's going to be pretty fun, Don.
Well, I mean, you can't say they're boring.
No.
They, you know, it might get sloppy and all that, you know, and hard to watch simply because of all the missed shots and all this kind of stuff and turning the ball over. But I still have enjoyed watching them, even the quarter that I got to see, and then I've replayed about half the first half now. I still enjoyed that better than anything that I saw while Conzo Martin was coach here. Except maybe in the tournament. His last year, I mean, with great players out there. What would Rick Barnes, Donnie Kendall do with that team that went to the Sweet 16? Oh, my Lord. With Josh Richardson and Big Boy in the middle.
Don, you can't say that because now you're officially a racist, according to Myron Medcalf.
Well, I've been accused of that anyhow, so that's not a big deal. That right there, Keith. I have been accused of that because anytime, you know, anything that you say that upsets these people, that's their card. That's their playing card. And,
well, according to Myron Medcalf, we should never should have fired Wade Houston.
Oh, I know. Oh, no. We should have just kept him. Well, I'll get off because I have to get up early in the morning, but on the racist thing, and Tony, I know you don't like saying anything about football and basketball. The next head coach at Missouri, I will guarantee you, and I will buy you lunch if I'm wrong, will be black.
Thank you, Don. The new chancellor up there looks like, he's got the Mike Hammond thing going. Light-skinned Mike Hammond. Have you seen that, Keith?
No, I have not. I have yet to see who they've replaced the guy they deposed with.
Yeah, he looks like light-skinned Mike Hammond. Look him up later. It's uncanny how much he looks like light-skinned Mike Hammond. It's pretty Knacks level. Let's go back.
Well, he wants curfews because Mike Hammond loves curfews.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Keith? What's up, Tony?
Hey, welcome in.
Bobby, hope you're doing well. Quick observation. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Hear you perfectly. Go right ahead.
Awesome. I don't have a yipping dog in the background, for the record. I thought that was a little uncouth. Watching this team, you know, I don't want to overcompensate and say, hey, the boys played hard. The boys played hard, though. And that's one thing that I am really happy about all around at the University of Tennessee right now. In the last couple of years, I think we've lacked teams that have played with conviction, not including Donna Tindall's team last year. But man, that last shot made me really miss Donnington.
Meaning what? What do you mean by that? I'm having trouble hearing you. See if you can come back. Say it again.
I was just saying the last play call was just terrible. You guys have any thoughts on that?
It was curious. It was curious to roll out with Bachman.
Yeah, I think the play call was perfect, except for who got the ball.
Yeah, I think that's the point. Bachman, who was 3 of 12 from 3-point land, or I'm sorry, 1 of 7 from 3-point land before he shot that shot, 3 of 13 from the field, which is even more stark. Wow.
But, I would have probably let Armani Moore take a guy. I know you want to go to overtime there, but at least dribble drive the hoop or something. Maybe you can draw a foul. But I don't know. I didn't particularly care for it, but I understand shooting three, so you don't want to go to overtime because you're tired. I get that part. But I actually think Rick Barnes is going to do just fine here. I think the fans are down on him because he's not flashy. And, yeah, you're right, Tony. He's not really killing it on the recruiting trail. It seems like he's not working. One and done me to death. I think you said that the other day, and I totally agree with that. But, Keith, on basketball recruiting, have you heard anything about Quay Parker today? Or is it Quay or Quay?
Kid, I'd be very surprised if Quay Parker doesn't sign here.
I mean, all the crystal ball projections and all that, if you go to those sites, are saying Tennessee is really hot right now for him. And he's a four-star point guard, right? I mean, he's a good player.
Oh, yes, but no. We can't say that on air because everybody says Rick Barnes is signing nothing but three stars now. So.
Well, he is to this point. But I'm not going to make that on this program here. That's not the discussion.
I understand. Well, I enjoyed the game, and I'm glad we were in it. I really thought we were going to get killed. And I think you guys are underestimating Jabari McGee. I think he can actually play a little bit on the interior.
I like old Jabari McGee. I liked him last year before he got hurt. That was a huge loss last year.
He's just so undersized is the only, that's the problem.
Yeah, he's an undersized kid. That's right. We bring the great Mark Griffin in here. Without further ado, and we'll keep the phone calls coming. Griff, I'd like your thoughts on what we saw tonight, my friend.
Well, Tony, if you would have asked me before the game if we could hold a team going in their home court to 39% field goal percent,
yep,
percentage, 11 of 18, 61% free throw, and shoot 2 of 19 from 3-point range, I'd say our chances were pretty good to win by a big margin. So, I mean, I think they played hard, but, to play for Georgia Tech to play as badly as they did outside of Jacobs, I mean, that's a game that Tennessee should have won.
Rick Barnes is going to be sick when he gets a real look at that stat sheet tomorrow and they see some of the points, Griff, that they left out there. And we were talking earlier, to me, the key stretch in the game occurs when you have a 9-point lead, and I don't know how to marry these two things. Tell me if we can. 14-31 to play in the game, Tennessee takes a 9-point lead, and then a sloppy next several minutes, about 7 minutes, where they go 2-for-17 from the field with 5 turnovers, 4 of which were just brutal. I'm talking about the pass from Armani Moore where you're just trying to play too fast, trying to do too much. Griff, is there a way when this team builds a lead to say, okay, guys, because to me in basketball, there's a time to throw the pedal to the metal. There's a time to pull it back. They were playing like they were loyal and Marymount at times in the second half tonight, Griff, and I just don't get playing fast like that. I mean, when you're up 9 points on the road, what do you think?
Well, I don't know if I would agree that I would slow it down when you get a margin such as 9 points, but I do agree with you, Tony, that that's just to take care of each possession. And it gets into possession, each possession counts, and just taking care of the ball. I mean, even if they're going to make bad shots like they did and lose the lead, which, Georgia Tech had their run, it's just a matter of taking care of the ball. And there were some very costly, like you said, bad turnovers, just bad judgment plays. Not that it was just great defense. Like you said, it was just some easy passes that Tennessee just made some bonehead mistakes and let them back in the game. And then once they were back in the game, you could feel the momentum change over to Georgia Tech.
Any other thoughts, Griff, before we go back to the phones?
No, I tell you what I was pleased with was with Jabari.
Mm-hmm.
McGee. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he was your best player on the court tonight, Tony, considering, playing 20 minutes, giving 10 points, 5 of 8 from the field, steady defense, considering what type of defense that they had in the interior, which was not much. But I think he gave Tennessee a big lift tonight, Tony.
Either one of you guys, is there anything we can do going forward to mitigate teams just eating us up on the inside the way tonight that Jacobs did early in that game?
Well, I'll go ahead. I was a little surprised Kasongo didn't get to play a little bit more to match up defensively. I mean, mm-hmm. when he missed those two free throws, he was pulled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, wow, let's let him guard Jacobs. Let him get some mm-hmm. fouls, mm-hmm. get some minutes, and get into the offense a little bit and see what he can do. And mm-hmm. I was a little surprised, Tony, that he didn't get to play. I wonder what Keith thinks about that. But I thought that maybe he'd be a good matchup against this Georgia Tech big guy.
I probably would have played Kasongo more, but, I mean, we're just so small, Tony. We just don't have the size. I mean,
especially if, and we don't have great ball pressure because we've got some wing defenders. Not going to call anybody out personally, Baldwin, who don't really guard anybody on, so you don't have ball pressure, so it's easy for people to get the ball in the post. And when you're small and you're playing behind a guy, you're going to get scored on.
Griff, what would your take on Hubs' play tonight?
Well, I mean, I was impressed with his offensive play overall. I'm still going on the floor more defensively when there's loose balls. 50-50 balls, I thought, killed us as well. Georgia Tech seemed to get more than we did.
Yep.
Seemed to be a little bit more aggressive with those loose balls. But I still want him to step up his effort all around. I mean, he gets the free throw line one time, you know, and shoots one for one. I just think, you know, for him to let, if he's going to play aggressively, he needs to get to the line more and take it to the basket more. I mean, he got his shots off. He got 16 shots, but why didn't he get into the free throw line more? And that's what I would like to see him do more. But he played 36 minutes, you know, double figures as far as points, but let's get to the free throw line.
Keith, your thoughts on Hubs' play tonight?
Oh, I love seeing him be aggressive offensively, but I think Griff makes a great point, especially in the first half. Every time there was a ball on the floor, they got it. And they scored off four or five of those. And in a close game, that's what beat you. But no, I thought Hubs tonight was aggressive, and I'll be perfectly happy if he takes 16 shots every game the rest of the year.
Griff,
yeah, me too.
Griff, your perfect world tonight. Who shoots that last shot that when they dialed up Bachman's number? Or do you agree with letting Bachman shoot it?
Well, I know a lot of people are going to comment during the week, Tony, about that shot. And my concern with that shot, was it the play call or play execution? It'd be interesting to hear what Coach Barnes says. Was that the play they drew up? Because if that was the play they drew up, they sure took their time getting down the court, you know, across half court. I thought they were going to call timeout at half court. They were going so slow. And it's like you just didn't get into that play. Now, as far as Baltman taking the shot, people can say, well, let's go for three because we're on the road. We're tired. I think whatever it takes to get the ball in the best person's hands. And I'd like to see Armani Moore with the ball and let him drive to the basket and either get fouled or score two or get fouled and go for, you know, maybe a and one. But I'd like to put it in Armani's hands. Of course, I'm not coaching over at UT, but I'd like to see it in his hands or even, you know, KP's hands. But I was a little surprised that it did go to Bachman.
We've had a really interesting phenomenon here the last several years with seniors that have blown up. A couple years ago, it was Jordy. Last year, it was Richardson. Boy, Armani Moore has really improved, guys, hasn't he? Toward that end,
yeah,
I mean, he just looks so much like he could be a really, really nice player here all year for Tennessee.
Oh, he was the worst ball handler I'd ever seen when he first came in.
Correct.
And you know, you and I had that discussion, Tony, that the idea that we recruited him as a point guard was completely farcical. And now he's beating guys off the dribble,
yep,
going behind his back.
I
agree, Tony and Keith, with that assessment of Armani Moore. I mean, I've been really impressed with him, and he's your go-to guy, I think, right now. And he took 20 shots today, so he's definitely your go-to as far as shooting the ball. But I think I would rather the ball be in his hands and put the game in his hands, because, you know, Kevin Punter, you know, with the way he played tonight, it seemed like he was really trying to get to the free throw line to force some shots going into big guys. And you've really got to, you know, it's one thing to get to the free throw line, but it's another thing to be smart on who you're driving. And if you've got a 6'8" guy in front of you, you know, you got to look to dish the ball. And I think he rushed a few shots trying on, you know, to drive the ball, which, you know, got us some, you know, made some turnovers as well. But getting back to Armani, I mean, he's one of these guys that you expect every night to come out and get, you know, double figures for Tennessee to do anything this year.
Let's go back to our phones. We'll get as many folks in as we can, 865-200-5402. Griff said he'll sit with us for a few minutes here. On your smart way, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, Tennessee basketball overtime, our second installment of the season. As I say to our next caller, hello and welcome. You're on with Keith Hatfield, Tony Basilio, Mark Griffin. Hello and welcome.
Tony, Keith, and Griff. Thanks for working late night here.
Hey, the Beano the Great. What's up, brother?
Hey, before I move to the complaint desk, let me say I commend our squad for out-rebounding anybody, anytime. You have to go in there with a lunch pail for this bunch to out-rebound anyone. So they obviously worked hard in that aspect of the game after Barnes got on them a little bit.
Totally agree.
UNC Asheville. So I'll tell you what slapped me in the face tonight, guys, is just how costly our decade-long inability to find a floor general has been. And you guys are exactly right. Through that stretch of the game where we lost it, where we got too frenzied and too careless, if we had a floor general, that would not happen.
Nope. And that was Rick Barnes's point, Griff, that he made after the game. I mean, it was kind of a no offense thing, but when you got to take your point guard off the floor when he's hobbled there with cramps and all that stuff, Tennessee, a different basketball team. Griff, are you there?
I love Hunter's
yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Griff.
No, you're right. No, you're right. I mean, it's a different team when Armani's not there, and the question rises, and Beano mentions, who's going to step up when Armani Moore's not there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the question, that who's going to run that point or run the two guard. I mean, I know I was hard on Mostella last time we were on the air, Tony, but I think he gave a pretty good lift tonight offensively. I think defensively he's still kind of no man's land defensively on where to go as far as his matchups. And if you watch the tape of this game, you'll see that he was beat on several occasions defensively tonight, but he did give them a good lift, you know, with 9 points, 3 of 6 from the field, and got 6 rebounds in 23 minutes. I mean, he was the second leading rebounder, or tied for the second leading rebounder on the team. So, you know, we've got to have somebody like Mostella step up and maybe others for Armani Moore when he is off, you know, when he's not playing. But we're going to need Armani Moore to have 30-plus minutes every game for sure.
Yeah, I was told a second ago by Jeff Beverly, who just tweeted me, that Rick Barnes said the final play was designed to go inside to Armani Moore. But obviously, Tennessee too slow getting the ball up over midcourt, as you were talking about, Griff. It just took way too long.
I don't know if everybody was on the same page or if everybody was listening during that timeout.
Yeah.
I'd like to watch a replay of that last play.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem like everybody was on the same page. I mean, I was standing up during this play going, run down the court. It just seemed like they were jogging. Even the announcer mentioned, you know, that they were taking their time down the court.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't seem like everybody was on the same page during this executed play.
God bless their effort, guys. We don't have a floor general when Armani Moore and Punter are out there. Neither one of them are.
No.
We were fortunate last year that Josh stepped in and could do something that he really wasn't designed to do.
Yes.
We've had 4 staffs come through here, and I know Barnes has only had 1 swing at it. 4 staffs that have not signed anybody that you could really say is a floor general.
You know, I'll tell you what, Beano, though, if you watch a lot of college basketball, Mark can talk about this because he's involved in the developmental phase of the game right now with a squad he coaches in the Mid-State. Mark, those guys don't grow on trees, do they? They're hard to find.
Well, as far as the floor general?
Yes.
No, you see a lot of 2 guards, 3 guard combos. It's hard to see many people that are a true point guard floor general, as Beano likes to say. And what's interesting too, and Tony, you and I talk about this every year during March, you see these teams that advance during March, they have a floor general.
Got to.
And I know they're hard to find, guys. There are no real true, what we thought of as a point guard in the time that Mark played and before. I understand that. But we don't have a ball handler, I don't think. And it's just like the last play.
Yep.
If you have someone that's truly got a good handle, you get it down there quick enough. We can't because we don't have the guy that has the ability to even do it.
Yep.
We got a forward and a shooting guard. Neither one of them that handled the ball particularly well trying to play point guard.
Hmm. Bino, it's going to be interesting to see this season. They have some real challenges ahead of them. One thing you're going to say about this team, though, they're not going to be boring. They play that style of play. They are not going to be boring.
No, I enjoy that style until it gets too frenzied. I will say this, though. What we do have that a lot of teams do not is we've got several seniors and several upperclassmen. That's just not the way college basketball is. And we'll win several games this year because we do.
I agree with that. Thank you. Almost stole the win tonight. Thanks, Bino. Hatfield, your thoughts on what Bino was saying, and maybe we're waiting right now in the recruiting game for this kid to pull the trigger.
Well, I think Bino makes a good point in that. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I don't want to rip on Bobby Mays and Melvin Goins, but we haven't had a point guard since C.J. Watson. We really haven't. And if you can't handle it, and if you don't have that guy, it makes running a half-court offense really, really tough. So,
Griff, do you agree with that? Going back far?
No question. No question. I do agree with that assessment. And you do have to have a really good point guard to run the show, calm things down when things get hectic, as you talked about earlier when Tennessee went on that drought, to calm the team down, to get on them on the sidelines or to get on during the game during free throw breaks. That's the kind of stuff I look for. Body language, who's your leader to get these guys back in shape. And I don't know that we have that right now.
Yeah, as Colin Linville said, Turner being ineligible really hurt in a game like this tonight. Even if you take a kid like him and you just use him for 6, 7, 8 minutes there when that game has been really nice to, I guess my point is with 9 minutes to go, it'd been really nice to have him there just to, with a 9-point lead, and you've got Moore over there, Gimpy. It would have been really nice to give him the ball for 5 or 6 minutes and say, hey, kid, keep us in the game here.
Oh, that's why I think I really like next year a lot. You get Jordan Bone, you get Turner,
mm-hmm.
You sign Quay Parker, you've got a bunch of guys that can handle the ball. And it's a guards game now in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think you set that up. I think it looks a little better than it does right now.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Smartway, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Adam up here.
Hey, Adam, welcome in. You got the great Mark Griffin and Hatfield.
Hey, always honored to be with you guys. Hey, watch the game tonight. Obviously, anytime the Big Orange goes down, disappointing. But like Bino said, I'll never fault their effort. They played like the football team did. They did. They played for 40 minutes, but their execution's got to step up. I thought that they forced a lot of shots that they didn't need to take, and I thought at the same time Georgia Tech really affected their shot selection. With their size and length, but
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Griff, you say though you wouldn't slow down. You disagree with me because I thought Tennessee was so frenzied at times, kind of like Adam's talking about, that it was kind of silly there. Am I wrong in saying that? Especially that spurt where the game got away.
Well, I think there's a difference in slowing down and taking care of the ball. I mean, I think their style to beat teams is they've got to continue to push the ball, push the tempo, not get into half-court sets if they can. But when they were pushing the ball and in their half-court sets, they were turning the ball over, making, sloppy shots or bad shot selection. But I don't think they slow it down. I don't think that's how Coach Lawrence coaches them.
Okay.
I think it gets them to think too much. That's just my opinion, but I think it gets them to think too much and it just doesn't seem like their style of play in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's be honest. I don't like, being critical about it, especially individuals, because these guys are just young men, but we don't have a post game. Jabbar McGee is a good post player. I think his best basketball is around the corner, but his size does hurt him. He's not, he don't have the size like other bodies in the SEC, but I think Barnes is really depended a lot on Lamonte Turner this year. I think him being ineligible is really going to hurt us, because I think he really depended on Turner this year.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And boy, only here can you have news like that. I mean, everybody Cal wants, he gets in the school. Everybody North Carolina wants him, they get in the school.